We're going to begin with my chart number 23, which I believe is really the essence of this discussion, the failure to distinguish between universal spiritual principles and temporary cultural applications of those universal principles. And I believe this is what Brother Donahue is failing to see at this point, and I hope that he will come to see this. Is that chart number 24? 24 is what I wanted to believe.
That's what I
wanted. Oh, no, that's not what I wanted. I'm sorry. Oscar was 100% right. I should have listened to it. In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, the Pharisees demanded of Jesus when the kingdom of God would come. He said, "The kingdom does not come with observation, neither shall you say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." In John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." In Romans 14, verse 17, I love to read this to my institutional brethren. "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I think this audience understands that those passages have this in common, that God's kingdom is spiritual, the gospel is spiritual, and the things that we're concerned with are spiritual in their nature. I believe it is a rule of Bible study that is established by this, that the things that are binding from any passage are the spiritual principles in that passage. That's true of any passage. I believe that is a basic rule of Bible study. Now, I want us to see, now this is just an observation that I'm making. It's not really intended to be a debater's point, but an observation that I think is important. That according to Pat's position, there are not just two symbolic acts that are given through Christ Jesus, but there are three symbolic acts. Now, the Catholics have seven sacraments, and we know there's no such thing as a sacrament. That's a myth. The Protestants have two sacraments. Well, they're wrong also, because there's no such thing as a sacrament. But are two symbolic acts that are unique to the gospel. And both of those symbolic acts, one is the way by which we get into Christ, and one is the way by which we remember what Christ has done for us. And both of them symbolize the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I don't even have to tell this audience what those two acts are. That's the only two symbolic acts that are bound by the gospel, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Pat is adding a third symbolic act to go with the spiritual principle of feminine submission. Now, this principle of feminine submission, I'm having a hard time getting that out. Feminine submission, the woman being in subjection to her own husband, and also the women in the church being in subjection to the men. The principle of the woman being in subjection to her husband has been true from the beginning of time. There was, and I believe I'll show again, a custom. And I didn't say a local custom. And I don't mean a local custom. I don't know how widespread the custom is. I'm relying on what the Bible says about it, and Paul just calls it a custom. I know the scholars differ on that. That doesn't concern us. We're concerned with what the Bible says. There was a custom that was expressing a principle that had been true from the beginning of time. Woman's subjection to her husband. Pat is taking this cultural expression, this customary expression, this customary symbolic act, as the New King James translates, a symbol of authority. This and that word authority, of course, is the only word in the original, but I think that's a correct translation as far as the meaning, a symbol of authority. He's taking this and putting it on the same plane as the Lord's Supper and baptism as a symbolic act bound by the gospel. Now, I really don't believe that the Lord intended to put feminine subjection to her husband on the same level as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as a third symbolic act bound by the gospel. Now, what is the spiritual principle always applies. The woman is to be in subjection to her husband. The women in subjection to the men in the local church. And that takes care of the women preachers. The spiritual principle does. So I can answer those who believe in women preachers on that. But that's because the spiritual principle always applies. Now let's take my chart 18, please. I gave an argument that Pat did not reply to as to why I believe, or if he did, I didn't hear it, as to why I believe that the custom that Paul is talking about is the woman wearing the head covering. And Pat has exchanged with me material before this debate, so we knew each other's positions before this debate occurred. And I appreciate Pat for showing his honesty in being willing to do that. We're not slipping up on each other's blind side. This is a Bible study between two honest men seeking the truth. Contentiousness is not a custom, something allowed but not bound by divine law. Contentiousness is a sin. It is absolutely forbidden by divine law. And if Paul is simply referring to contentiousness, what good would it say, do to say, no, we're not contentious? That would be a contentious denial of contentiousness. That is, I believe, an absurdity. And by the way, the grammatical argument that Pat made is mixing adjectives with pronouns. We're not dealing with a pronoun here, and it's antecedent. We're dealing with an adjective and what it modifies. And I believe that obviously in context, the custom is the head covering. Jeff Smeltzer talks about people dismissing the importance of the whole thing. I wasn't there when Jeff said that. Jeff Smeltzer is a good man. He's a friend of mine. But I don't dismiss the whole thing, do I? And in fact, now think with me. A real quick story, because I don't have much time. When I was in Nigeria in 1992, I explained 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 16 to an audience of Yorubas in the western part of Nigeria. And it was explained to me that the custom of Nigerians, at least among the Yorubas, was that a woman who appeared in public with her head bare was considered a prostitute. And I said, women, wear your head coverings. Why? Because of the custom of that area. I'm not dismissing this as irrelevant. The principle is always true, but the specific application does depend on custom. Let's go to my chart 20, or my chart 25. And I don't have Pat's charts in front of me, so I may be confused from time to time as to what those charts will say. But he thought that I had failed to distinguish, or that I was denying the application of the passage. And he introduced 1 Corinthians 14:37 and 1 Corinthians 4:17. And see, what Pat's doing here is failing to see the difference between the spiritual principle and the symbolic application, the specific application in the cultural setting of that principle. Paul taught the women to wear a head covering, 1 Corinthians 11:5. Paul taught the same in all churches, therefore all women wear a head covering. Well, let's use that argument in another area. Paul taught Christians in Rome to greet each other with a holy kiss. Paul taught the same in all churches, therefore everyone must greet each other with a holy kiss. And there are people who live where I live, where in that church the men kiss each other on the lips as a form of greeting, believing it's bound, and they have foot washing. And by the way, those things were commanded by the Lord and they were not called a custom. They were demanded by the Lord. All right, let's go. Okay.
Am I out of time?
1 minute. Okay, thank you. Let's go, please. Well, wait a minute. Just leave it there. He talked about the Old Testament proving nothing. Two things. First of all, the Old Testament does illustrate principles. We understand that. And secondly, remember, I made the point that this has been true from the beginning of time. Woman's subjection to man. And therefore, if the application of that to the head covering is on equal footing with the principle, it's been true from the beginning of time in all societies. Now, I believe that follows, and Pat didn't deal with that, and we know it wasn't. And that's the reason I appealed to the Old Testament, to show that that application has not been true from the beginning in all places at all times. Now, Paul calls it a custom. That's the reason I said it was a custom. He says that Thayer doesn't agree with me on the application of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14. Well, Pat, I understand that. Okay, I'm sorry. You did say that. I withdraw that statement. I misunderstood your statement. He said that homosexuality is against nature. I understand that, Pat. The context determines the usage of the word. There's nothing in Romans chapter 1 to indicate that nature has anything to do with a customary practice. It has its primary meaning there. And I agree with Pat completely, and of course I can prove that. And by the way, I'm going to be preaching on that in the gospel meeting in Florida next year. First time I've ever preached specifically on homosexuality in my life. That shows how our society has changed, but that doesn't change God's law concerning our sexual purity. Okay, thank you very much.